As we all know, much more needs to be done, but we have made great progress in this year. Just to say one of the most important four-letter words in our economy is jobs. And as you can see, and I hope you can all see, from 2020, this was a job situation, 2021, 6,400,000 jobs. An unemployment rate that has gone down to 3.4%. Millions more Americans back to work, 3.9% in unemployment. And then now, of course, with legislation that is pending, we hope that when we have more access to childcare and universal pre-K and the rest, many more people will be able to go to work, especially as the president continues to address the COVID challenge that we have that are keeping people out of work. But 6.4 million jobs versus this practically over 5 million, nearly 6 million jobs lost the year before in the previous presidency. So with that, many more people availing themselves of the Affordable Care Act and the tune of millions more people, 5 million more people, we're very proud of that, and having access to quality health care. Of course, more to come when we pass some version of the legislation that is pending over on the Senate side. We're very proud in the course of, almost a year ago, in March a year, we passed the rescue package. The rescue package put money in the pockets of the American people, vaccines in their arms, many more children safely back to school, people back to work. It enabled cities and states and counties to pay for and support the systems that make societies work, whether it's the education of our children, the transportation of our people, the first responders, our security, food workers, the list goes on of services that are provided by localities, counties, as well as states. They took many millions of young children out of poverty. The rescue package did just that, rescue our economy, our society, and our people as it attacked the COVID crisis. As you all know, we've had a variant that has prolonged the crisis. I'm very proud of the work that the president is doing now to make sure that people have tests and masks, and hopefully more people will avail themselves of vaccinations. More therapies are in the works, and in terms of not having to have refrigeration of the kind that is almost impossible to have throughout the world. We salute our scientists for what they are doing. Science and governance, that's going to be solve that problem. So for these and other reasons, whether it's broadband or clean water, as we know in the bipartisan, the first bill, the rescue package with taking people out of poverty and money in pockets and all the rest, that was done with not one Republican vote. There were 13 Republican votes in the House to support the infrastructure bill, and we were happy that that was bipartisan, so we could repair roads and bridges, improve public transit, secure clean water, broadband, and much more across the country. So it's a great deal to be proud of. But as with all of this, we always keep an eye on what needs to be done to meet the kitchen table needs of the American people. What keeps them up at night, we want to help solve that problem. And one of the proud things about this administration is the creation of jobs, the expansion of health care, and again, the alleviation of poverty. So with that, then we go on to what we want to do next. There's no question, last night was a disappointment. I support what the president said, he's disappointed but not deterred. We will continue the work. We will follow the example of those who went before us in terms of the fight for civil rights and voting rights, not to be deterred. So the fight goes on. I had the privilege earlier this week, the beginning of the week on Martin Luther King Day, to be with the King family, to be inspired over and over again, continue to be inspired by them, to the point of the King's granddaughter, Yolanda, who's 13 years old in eighth grade, talking about the future, talking with her great wisdom about the future. So we're, again, always eager to do more, but nonetheless disappointed what happened. But I want to congratulate Leader Schumer for his courage, for how he proceeded with this legislation. You had to have a vote. And what was wonderful to see was for almost 2 days to hear the Democratic senators talk about the sanctity of the vote and how fundamental that is to our democracy. It was so inspiring. Sad, though, to hear the Republicans argue against freedom to vote and protect their vote. Whatever the outcome, the fact is that every Democrat voted, every Democrat in the Senate voted for the freedom to vote / John Lewis Voter Advancement Act, and every Republican voted against it. The process in the Senate leaves much to be desired. If you want to talk about that, we can later. But the fact is that it was an inspiring day, and I salute the chairman for bringing that important legislation to the forefront as he brought it to the floor. And that's a way to get it into the forefront. It's so important. But again, my motto is, some of you heard me say it, we don't agonize, we organize. And that's what we will do to, again, advance voter participation in our country. I was a former chair of the party, and our goal was to remove obstacles of participation for anyone, whatever their party was, to remove obstacles of participation, instead of what the Republicans are doing is to put up obstacles of participation. So the fight for voting rights continues. We will not relent, and the fight goes on. So where do we go from here? As we have been engaged in all of these highly visible fights, discussions, debates in the Congress, we have been working in many cases in a bipartisan way to advance legislation which should be coming to the floor in the months ahead, as soon as we come to the agreement. First and foremost is the omnibus bill. I salute our chair, Rosa DeLauro, for the work that she is doing. This has to be bipartisan, and as an appropriator myself from way back, I always say, left to their own devices, the appropriators can get the job done, and we will leave them to their own devices, and I hope that Mitch McConnell will leave them to their devices as well. We must get that done. It is important in terms of governance to get the appropriations bill done, the omnibus bill done, to fund the government. It is now a national security issue of the highest priority, with the threats that exist out there. To go to a continuing resolution instead of a decision-making omnibus bill is to weaken our security and our stability. The Republicans should know that. So we hope that we will be able to bring that legislation to the floor before it expires. Honoring our pact, this is another security issue. It's about the burn pits. This is something that members have been working on for a while, and now, yesterday even, in fact, the Veterans Affairs Committee had Chairman Takano had a round table with the VSOs, the Veteran Service Organizations. We thank our veterans and our Veteran Services Organizations for their input on this. As you know, many of our service members were affected by being exposed to burn pits, and we have to have legislation passed. It will be expensive, but it is the price we must pay, that we owe our veterans, to make sure they get the care and benefits that they deserve, those who are exposed to burn pits. And from our standpoint, if you were there, you qualify. We don't have to go through any torturous process to decide if somebody's illness depended on something that they were exposed to. That very important legislation, again, we're hoping all of this is bipartisan, the competitiveness bill. It has many names. It's about chips, about funding for chips. It's about research and development, research, very big piece of that coming out of our Science, Space, and Technology Committee under leadership of Eddie Bernice, Chairwoman Eddie Bernice Johnson. It's about supply chain. And it's pretty exciting that the competitiveness bill, and we're very close to being ready to go to conference with the Senate on that legislation. Postal reform, you've heard about it over and over again, but again, it's about fairness and making sure that we have fairness for our postal workers without having the retirement health benefits be pre-funded for 75 years into the future. These are some of the items on the agenda in the very near future that have important ramifications for us. Very important in terms of all of this is what we do about any legislation we may have about the Ukraine, which is really about our security and our stability. Mr. Menendez has legislation in the Senate. We anticipate a companion bill in the House, but that's up to our distinguished chairman, Mr. Meeks, to announce. Members have been meeting, security committees have been meeting. We had our briefings and the rest. And when that legislation is ready, whenever that may be, it could be next week, it could be next month, but whenever it is ready, we will go forward with legislation in terms of the stability and national security, whether it's legislation on robust Russian sanctions, assistance to Ukraine, our commitments to NATO and so forth. So that's Glenn, let's acknowledge and appreciate what Joe Biden as President of the United States, the difference that he has made, 6.4 million jobs, that has a nice ring to it. We want more. We can put more people back to work when we have more access to child care and home health care so that more moms and dads can be in the workforce. And when we solve and crush the COVID crisis, which is a deterrent to people going to work as well. So we thank the President for his great leadership. We appreciate the leadership of Chuck Schumer in advancing the sanctity of the vote in the Senate and giving it the visibility that it would never have had without having a vote in the Senate. As we prepare for what's next on our agenda, we do so striving for as much bipartisanship as possible in terms of protecting our, honoring our veterans, protecting our country, again, funding the governance of our country. On a happy note, yesterday, Congress passed legislation to award Willie O. Yee. You know Willie O. Yee?
Oh.
You know Willie O. Yee.
I did a story about Willie.
You just did a story about Willie.
Yes.
Well, you come to our office later today because we'll be signing the legislation. He was, for your information, Willie O. Yee was the first black player in the National Hockey League. The Congressional Gold Medal, we voted on it yesterday. I'll sign the bill today. He was referred to as the Jackie Robinson of hockey. We can never have a meeting without talking sports. But the House passed the bill unanimously, which honors the contribution of a sports legend who broke the National Hockey League's color barrier despite being legally blind in one eye. Is that remarkable? So we'll have the signing. Do we know what time it is today?
I don't. It's private.
We'll let you know if you're interested. We'll let you know. Otherwise, we'll send you a picture.
Four goals and 10 assists in 45 NHL games.
I'm sorry?
He had 4 goals and 10 assists in 45 NHL games over 3.
How about that? Is that remarkable? That's remarkable.
That's not tremendous stats, but that was his record.
That's wonderful. Good for you. Well, I'm just staying up late at night watching Warriors and stuff like that. But in any event, any questions? Yes, sir?
Madam Speaker, I understand that last Thursday you asked the Committee on House Administration to take a closer look at Stock Act violations by members of Congress. Which may include stiffer penalties for these violations as
that's
well.
Right.
I wanted to give you the chance to talk about just why you did that, why I think that's important, and what you say to the members of your caucus, which range from frontline members to some of the most progressive members who want to go further and enact some sort of...
Well, I don't know that. I mean, that's your version. Here's the thing. I say to my members on a regular basis, when we gather in caucus, and as you know, sometimes it's hybrid these days, but anytime we have gathered in caucus, when we're actually virtually or hybrid, I've said to them, under this roof, figuratively or actually, is the greatest collection of intellect, integrity, and imagination for doing the right thing for the American people. I have great confidence in the integrity of my members. They are remarkable. So when people talk about, well, somebody might do this and somebody, I trust our members. If in fact we should have severe penalties for delay in reporting on stock, then do that. I've said to the House Administration Committee, review all the bills that are coming in and see which ones, where the support is in our caucus. I think there are two letters, each has like 14 members signing it so far, maybe more will come, but that's what we have seen. But I do come down always in favor of trusting our members. Now, if the impression that is given by some that somebody's doing insider trading, that's a Justice Department issue. That's a Justice Department issue, and that has no place in any of this. But to give a blanket attitude of we can't do this and we can't do that because we can't be trusted, I just don't buy into that. But if members want to do that, I'm okay with that. I would add, and this is the last thing I'm going to say on this at this meeting, and I would add, do you know that the Supreme Court, now we in the House have disclosure, in the Congress we have disclosure, and we have the Stock Act, which says if you sell a stock, you have to report it in X number of days, and if not, there's a penalty. Should those penalties be greater? Subject to review. I mean, I don't know why people don't do it on time, but whatever it is, if there's a penalty and it should be more severe, so be it. But the United States Supreme Court, where decisions are made all the time that affect our environment, our workforce, our personal freedoms, every subject you can name, at the mercy of the court, our economic issues and the rest, no disclosure whatsoever, and certainly no Stock Act. I don't, in other words, if we're saying everybody should be living by the same standard, then so be it. That's okay with me. But I don't think that the court should be let off the hook, and even the Chief Justice said recently that the impression was that there were some scandals in judges making decisions that related in a way that wasn't right. So I say, when we go forward with anything, let's take the Supreme Court with us to have disclosure. No disclosure. The Supreme Court of the United States for life. No disclosure, and certainly therefore no Stock Act. Another subject?
Yeah, I'm the BBB. The president indicated yesterday chunks of it could get passed, and I'm sure you heard what he said. I wonder what you think of that statement, and I have a couple parts here. He said the child tax credit for community colleges might drop out, and just what should we expect when it comes to the BBB going forward?
Well, let me just say, chunks is an interesting word.
Not my word, that's what he said.
No, the president has such a commitment to the values that are contained in this legislation, the reconciliation bill. When they were considering, and then later we passed the bipartisan infrastructure bill, the president said, "I want to find as much common ground as I can in a bipartisan way when it comes to infrastructure." But I cannot limit my vision for America to what the Republicans will agree to in terms of roads and bridges, et cetera. That's important, but it's not all. So in this legislation, if we care about preserving the planet for future generations and clean air for them to breathe today and water to drink, we need to pass the reconciliation bill. So I would hope that that would be a major part of it. So what the president calls chunks, I would hope would be a major bill going forward. It may be more limited, but it is still significant. So we talked about climate. Now let's talk about health care. So important in the legislation is that millions more people will have access to health care at a very low cost because of what is in the bill in terms of expanding the Affordable Care Act. Let's now talk about child care. Child care in the bill, whether you're talking about the child tax credit, or you're talking about child care, or you're talking about home health care that might include a child, or an older sibling or a parent, or you're talking about universal pre-K. All of this lowers cost for care, and is transformative in the lives, especially of women in the workforce. So we have to have, if our economy is going to succeed, as you know, we say when women succeed, America succeeds. If we're going to have the full benefit of women and newcomers, and when I say newcomers, people of color who have not been in some of these traditional jobs to expand what that means, we have to have care at home, whether it's for children or, again, older siblings or parents. So this, there are big chunks of the bill that have to be contained in the bill. But remember this, that this is a reconciliation bill. So when people say, let's divide it up, they don't understand the process. What can we agree upon? And I'm sure that we can agree upon something significant. Call it a chunk if you want, but whatever you call it, we want it to be able to make a difference in transforming the workplace by honoring work, by respecting the fact that there are families that have to make decisions between home and work, and again, protecting the planet. So I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic, yeah. Yes, sir. Very disappointed. Well, I think people will say what they're going to say. I have not encouraged that. In fact, I have discouraged it because we are a giant kaleidoscope here, Democrats and Republicans. You never know who's going to be in the design of the next bill. So we have to be respectful. But I've discouraged people from making comments about them. And you maybe hear it more than I do. I just don't hear that much of it anymore. No. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that they'll do what they believe, and I'm hopeful. They have come to agreement on aspects of the Build Back Better legislation. We may want to have to rename it to something that's even Build Back Better than that kind, whatever we decide to call it. But the fact is that, we're a diverse place from right to left, Democrats to Republicans, within our own parties and the rest, and we have to be respectful. And I don't think there's any upside in Democrats criticizing Democrats. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Well, as I said earlier, right away, we have been working on legislation right now to keep government open in a way that meets the needs of the American people, that protects the security and stability of our country. And that is legislation that we hope will be on the floor in a short period of time, and I thank Rosa DeLauro for that. A high priority for us is to honor the pact, to make sure that our men and women in uniform who were exposed to burn pits understand that this is of the highest priority for us. It's going to be very costly. But it's worth it because we owe them. They were exposed in the line of duty to dangerous situations where they now have serious health issues and they need care and benefits. I mentioned also the issue that relates to competitiveness. This is really important for us in terms of chips and what that means to our manufacturing base, in terms of supply chain, which that means, what that means to our economy, and research, which means to our present and to our future. These are big, all of these are big bills. The trillion and a half for the omnibus bill, probably over half a trillion dollars for the burn pits. We don't know. We're waiting for further CBO scores on that. And then in terms of the COMPETES Act, that's $50 billion for chips, another $40 billion perhaps for supply chain and the rest. So these are significant bills that contain, especially the omnibus and the competitiveness bills, they're bills that contain large numbers of other bills. Large numbers of other bills, but they are the vehicle that will take us forward under the title of competitiveness. Was it called in the Senate? USICA. USICA in the Senate, and we call it competitiveness bill here. Whatever the title, we hope to go to conference on that soon. And then there are other bills that relate to the Postal Service and the rest, again, about governance. We have always been about America's working families. So we still want to pass the legislation that expands our workforce by recognizing the responsibilities that people have at home, which I address. So I went over some that are in the near future. We have three task force that work, select committee task force, that are not legislative committees but will make recommendations. One of them is the Select Committee on the Climate Crisis, and much of what they have recommended is in the current version of the BBB. We hope that most of that survives, but that isn't the end of it. There'll be other opportunities, shall we say, that we will have to help other countries to save the planet as well. So nothing is the end game, but it is takes us well down the path. In terms of the and that's chaired by Kathy Castor of Florida. She's doing a superlative job. Next, we have the Select Committee on COVID, the leadership of Mr. Clyburn, our distinguished whip, and they are doing very important work that helps us make judgments about what has worked better or what in terms of how we go forward in terms of this pandemic, but any future ones as well. And then we have a Select Committee on Disparity and Income and Opportunity in our country, chaired by Mr. Himes. And you'll see much more of that now that we've gotten through some of the, hopefully soon, some of the big legislation coming out of the last year. And that is how we affect legislation to end that disparity of opportunity in our country. The fact that during the COVID crisis, wealth increased at the high end to such an exorbitant place at the expense of people, not, I don't want to say at the low end, but at a lower economic place in our society. We can't have that continue. That's what is a caste system. That's not a democracy. The middle class is the backbone of our democracy. We have to strengthen the middle class and all who aspire to it. So that is what our legislation is about. So how we protect our nation, how we preserve our planet, how we transform our workforce, how we educate our children. My whole mission in Congress is about the children, for the children. As you heard me say, you're in the arena. You have to be prepared to take a punch. You have to be prepared to throw a punch for the children, for the children. And so we'll be dealing with issues that relate to antitrust and Section 230 and what damage that does to children and the rest. But I'm very proud of our committees. They're working very hard on their legislation. Some of it they will bring individually to the floor. some of it, as with the Competitiveness Act. That's a bill from science, space, and technology, energy and commerce, education and labor, and other committees as well. So some of this will be jointly, some of it will be individually. One last question is that. Sorry?
Crime in America.
Oh, crime. Yeah.
There's been so many tragic headlines this week alone with a 24-year-old UCLA student stabbed in Los Angeles, a woman pushed out of the subway in New York City, and just last night, a baby shot in the Bronx in an innocent baby in a town. So I just wanted to ask you about this spike in crime.
Thank you for that question, because in many of our committees, in the Judiciary Committee for sure, and Education and Workforce, in all of our committees, community safety is of the highest priority as a value. The form of it, the legislation it will take, remains to be seen. As I said, our committees will be working on these issues. But community safety, right up there with jobs and health care, and the rest. Community safety, very important. That's why we were very proud that in the rescue package, we had significant funding for state and local government, which was funding our first responders, largely our police and fire. We have to be strong in that respect. But in the BBB, there's very important language, and I refer you to it, about how we address criminal justice and the rest in our country. But thank you for asking that question. We can have a whole day, and we probably will, on that subject, because community safety, our first responsibility is to protect and defend, whether that's our national security or our community safety. We have to keep the American people safe. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.